Welcome everyone to another episode of the Comic Chronicle podcast. I have with me a special guest, but today, before we get into that, is a special episode because it is our talk show segment, Comics and Coffee today, folks. As you can tell, I need it. Today I have with me a very special guest. He's done art on so much stuff. It's been crazy, crazy, ridiculously good. And I do want to say he's been on the podcast before. It is Brian Level today. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Good, man.
I almost missed the hello because I was drinking coffee as well.
See? Well, you're drinking coffee at 9 o'clock over there where you're at?
Oh, yeah. I'm about to drink all night, bro.
Oh, God.
I'm not a booze guy, but I'll pound the coffee all night. I'm going to Waffle House later.
So. Oh, you are living the dream, Brian. It's like late night Waffle House. Oh, my God. I'd kill for that.
Very on brand for me.
Mm-hmm. Are you going by yourself, or just kind of like just relaxing, or are you going with some family and friends?
I'm going, and I'm going to meet a good pal of mine. You can find him on Twitter. His name is Bob France. He's a comic writer as well, and all-around hilarious dude. So we're going to hang out, and I'm going to ink a little bit on some pages, and he's probably going to hang out, and I'm not sure what he's going to do besides maybe eat or drink some coffee. So.
You know what? You could honestly sit in there, get work done, and depending on what Waffle House you go to, you could definitely see a good crowd and get a good show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure that, like, somebody who works there will tell me about their personal life. So yep. That'll be pretty sick.
Yeah, that too. That's the lower tier of things. And Waffle House does not sponsor us, folks, at all. So I'm going to put that out there.
No, I do this willingly.
Yeah, we just love Waffle House. I mean, it's good food, it's good crowds, and it's good coffee.
Free salsa.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Today, folks, so... We're not here to talk about Waffle House, although we do love it. And we could do an episode on that.
That's why I'm here.
Yes, just Waffle House. So number five on the... No. we're here to talk about today is a Daredevil story that I think deserves more recognition. Because I've read it once, and Brian here brought me back to it when he mentioned it. And to reread it was so much fun. It is Daredevil, The Fall of Kingpin. Now, folks, if you haven't read this, it's... Oh, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful thrill ride. Art, beautiful. It's written by DJ Chichester and Tom DeFalco. And the art is by... Oh, shoot. Unique...
The God, Lee Weeks.
Huh?
Lee Weeks, the God. That dude's amazing.
Lee Weeks, yes. Lee Weeks. And I was looking at the inks. I was like...
Al Williamson, right?
Al Williamson, yes, yes, yes. Sorry.
And Max Scheel, I think, did the colors?
Yes, if I believe so, yes. This is what happens, folks, when you can't read your own... You write fast, folks. This is really what happens. You can't read your own translation sometimes. But, but yeah, those are the people who worked on this amazing series. And, Brian, what can you tell the folks about it? Kind of like a little version of what you want to say about the book, without spoiling too much, I want to say.
Well, I guess it's kind of a spiritual successor, almost a direct sequel to Born Again. But it's weird, like, some people know it as Fall of Kingpin, which is kind of what I sort of shorthand call it. But it's also, like, in the issues, when you read the floppies, it's Last Rites. So it's, like, Last Rites Parts 1 through 4, but it's also Fall of Kingpin, so.
Mm. It's weird.
And I love it. It's weird, because I don't even know if it's, like, the best stuff, but it's stuff that I love.
Mm.
Like, so much cool stuff in there that I'm like, I can forgive the weird, like, stuff that seems bloated, or, I don't know, it's great. I like reading it, though.
Yeah, it's an enjoyable thrill ride, and it's one where, you know, we have Kingpin, and we know how good of a villain he is, and he's done excellently on Daredevil on Netflix, by the way, but I want to say in the comics, Kingpin is such a unique villain, and is such, and this especially after being born again, which is an stellar story in itself, and the fall of Matt Murdock. And in this time around, someone told me once, Brian, I want to know if you agree with this, this is the kind of Born Again, but in reverse. So it's Kingpin, Wilson Fisk, falling instead of Matt, which I think is beautiful. And it's kind of the sweet revenge story, I want to say,
yes,
to it.
I would definitely agree with that. It's weird because I kind of have very conflicting feelings about the things that Matt does in the story. Obviously, he is conflicted as well, But there's some pretty, like, can I swear on here? I almost dropped a swear word, so if it happens by accident,
you can swear as much as you want. Say anything you like, man.
I just don't want to slip. I'll try to keep it as chill as I can, but...
Oh, you can say whatever shit you want.
He has some pretty wild stuff and some pretty problematic shit, like, mm-hmm. with Typhoid Mary.
Yes.
Some of the stuff that, like, there's some stuff that kind of gets a little antiquated, like, with the way that, like, processes work and government and stuff, but all in all, like, I think it's got a lot of moving parts, and to see kind of how they all lock in to make this really weird, inevitable ticking clock for Fisk is really cool.
Yeah, and it really, there's just so much to say about it. There's just really so much to say about it. Because I want to say, isn't that the last, or Typhoon, it's her last? I don't think she made any other appearances after the story, did she?
Oh, no, she has. Like, she's popped in periodically. Mm-hmm. I love Typhoid Mary a lot. But I think this was, like, the way that they kind of took her out of... I think they really want... I don't know if there was, like, a thing going on at Marvel where they wanted more, like... Rogues Gallery or something, like a broader Rogues Gallery or something, so I think mm-hmm. they maybe wanted to wrap up certain rogues. So they did that with Bullseye, like, a couple issues prior to this. I think toward the end of the Nocenti run where there was, like, an imposter Daredevil and it turned out to be, spoiler alert, it was Bullseye.
Wow.
And then Typhoid gets kind of wrapped up and Kingpin gets kind of wrapped up in these stories, and so then after this they kind of have, like, the Owl comes back and he's real weird, and there's these really dumb characters called, like, the Surgeon General, who's, like, doing organ trafficking, which I thought was kind of tight, and then Calypso shows up, and there's all kinds of crazy, like, sorry, I love Daredevil.
Oh my god.
But, like,
yeah, I was just saying.
So they do all this weird shit, but they do it after wrapping up some of the more, like, mainstay stuff, like, to wrap up what Nocenti did, I think, and to wrap up, you know, they just wrap a lot of stuff up.
Yeah. And this was, I think they wanted to, because this was, what, 99 when this came out?
91.
This is 91. I'm still thinking of a totally different storyline from 9. This was 91. So I think in the 90s, it was, comics were a little bit, I think they wanted to do new, fresh takes on some characters. And I think it's what they wanted to do with Daredevil. In the, I mean, this was before I was born, but I love catching up on the older stuff. At least for me, it's older. But
yeah, I think you're right for sure about Daredevil, because he had kind of been pretty heavily steeped in, like the Frank Miller legacy.
Yeah.
I think they wanted to try to find a way to modernize him a bit.
Yeah, and this was part of that storyline, and those storylines of, we're changing Daredevil, we're changing his rogues, as you said, we're changing his rogues gallery. And obviously they all really came back, because you can't really keep those guys alone.
Yeah, they're too good.
Yeah, that's right. They're, like, way too good of villains. They're like, hey, we're going to take away your good villains and bring you some other ones. It's like, I don't know. But, yeah, it was pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. But I, as a fan of Daredevil myself, I've loved Daredevil for years. And most recently in the past, like, 5-6 years, I've gotten way more into him because I liked him. He was always interesting as a kid. And now with the character, it's just amazing what they do with him. And currently, what do you think of the Daredevil comics? I want to get your opinion on that really fast.
On Charles' run?
Mm-hmm.
I think that Charles was doing... it's funny that you that we're talking about Charles' run, because I'm not caught up on it. I'm probably about a year behind. Like, I read up through... after the Muse storyline and after the Purple Man stuff. I guess I kind of, like... I'm in that range. So, like, I think I'm, like, 3 or 4 arcs into Charles stuff, and I'll say this, Charles is, like, the way that he's managed to pull in, sort of, the 90s, the 80s, like, the 2000s, he's managed to really, like, create, a very central, like, sort of gravity point for all this stuff to kind of come home, while introducing new villains and new characters, like, so I liked a lot what Charles was doing, because it felt very reverent while also doing new things.
Yes, 100% on that, 100%. I gotta say, you're definitely gonna like, when you catch back up on it, just get the trade paperbacks, when you catch up on it.
I have all the floppies, like, literally right by my desk.
Oh, you do? So. Brian, why?
Oh my god, you should see, you know what, you shouldn't see my read pile, it's appalling.
Is it?
Yes, it's disgusting. Like, I have entire series that I have, like, 10 issues in that I haven't read the first issue on.
Oh god.
Don't tell anybody. I'm a bad person.
You know what? You're busy creating. That's a good enough reason. We'll leave it as that. But whenever you get to it, it's you'll heavily enjoy it. Let me tell you. Oh.
Yeah, I'll probably catch up as quickly as I can before Chip's sort of run starts. That tends to be what I do. You know, I was reading Wade's run every month for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of fell behind toward the end. And then when the Charles run got announced, I was like, okay, I better finish. You know, and I caught up real fast.
Yeah. I'm curious. Is Daredevil going to be one that you want to do? Like, are you going to be able to work on Daredevil? You being a super fan and with connections and whatnot, is he on your to-do list?
I think that I would love to work on Daredevil. It's funny that, like, because he comes up a lot. I think a lot of people would like my take on Daredevil, because, like, I feel like that's the thing I started drawing. Like, I'm not saying people as in, like, fans or anything. I have no idea how they'll react. Mm-hmm. As much as just, like, my friends. But no, I mean, if Marvel had a Daredevil thing that they wanted me to work on, I would jump at it, of course. But there's nothing planned. I've never spoken to anybody about it.
Oh.
That's a character that's definitely, like, feels a bit out of reach, and there's no sense in lamenting that or anything. Like, Marvel's been very good to me, so I feel very fortunate to have worked on, you know, certain characters that I loved growing up, like Thanos and Spider-Man and
yeah.
stuff. Be a bit of a ingrate to be like, now Daredevil, you know?
It's like, give me this. It's like, no, you're out of here. Like, oh, damn it.
Yeah,
like,
they've treated me well, but that's definitely not in the works or anything like that, but I would enjoy working on the character.
Mm-hmm. I definitely want to see your take on it. I definitely want to see your take on Daredevil, some of the other characters and such too. I definitely would. So if you ever do it, just know you have 100% of a customer waiting for you to buy it. Waiting to buy it from.
Well, fingers crossed that something like that could happen. It'd be nice, you know. But it's, you know, whenever I don't try to force things too hard, I just kind of let things play out, because I don't know. I'm in a good spot. I'm pretty satisfied and pretty happy dude all around with the way comics has treated me thus far. So there's no sense in trying to squeeze blood out of a stone when you kind of like the stone you have.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know, it's well deserved. I gotta say, it's always well deserved, because I love your work, Ryan.
Well, that's very kind of you. It's funny because Lee Weeks, going back to Last Rites of Fallen Kingpin, Lee has been was an early mentor of mine. I mean, not like I wouldn't say that he was, you know, like, I don't think he would be like, oh yeah, Brian was a pupil. Like, I'm not saying it's that. Like, there's definitely mm-hmm. more acquaintance friend type thing. But like, we, you know, he gave me some really great pointers early on in my career, and is just an overall swell guy. And, like, very sweet. If anyone ever has a chance to meet Lee, I highly recommend it. He's an amazing man. But on top of that, you know, he was a big inspiration for my drawing when I was coming up. So, like, this sort of story arc, that foot chase in that story is one of my favorite foot chases. I can't even think of very many foot chases, but it's such a profound, strong sequence.
Yes.
That foot chase between Daredevil and Kingpin is really powerful and really beautiful. And I recommend anybody reading that arc just for that foot chase, because it's spectacular.
Yeah, it's intense. It's truly intense. Like, you don't want to look away. And that's what I liked about this story a lot, was you had a lot of those moments where, with the art, the storytelling in it, you didn't want to look away. And that's what comics should always be, is that moment where they both coincide of a writer and an artist, and they both drag you in. And that you want to know what's going to happen next. You are 100% invested. You don't care. There could be a fire going on next to you. And you're like, listen, hold on a minute. All right, I got to finish this.
Right. Well, there's some pretty cool beats in it, too. Like, I love the suitcase, like, trap thing was a really great moment. Mm. There's some really cool stuff. There was a couple things I didn't love. Like, I felt like the Karen Page stuff was really shoehorned in.
Yeah.
It wasn't really necessary. So there was little things here and there that, like, I could sit here and gloat, or not gloat, but give a glowing review that it's perfect, and I don't think it's perfect, but I think it's certainly really, really good.
Exactly. There's very, very few comic stories that we can consider 100% perfect. Like, I don't know, or at least 99%, yeah. But this is a really good percent. I mean, what is a rating, Ryan, on this? Out of 5, what would you give it?
Well, like, 0 being, like, oh, God, I don't know.
0 like being you toss it, like, you donate it to your little cousin.
Okay, and then, like, 10 being born again. Like, yeah. I would, I would maybe say it's like a solid 7.5, 8.
There we go. Yeah, that's more where I get it.
On Daredevil stories, yeah. I mean, like, I think that the only 10s I really have in my, even in my lexicon, are like Batman Year One and Born Again and like Brubaker's Winter Soldier Cap story. There's not very many 10s in superhero stuff for me. I'm very critical. But there's definitely ones that exist, and this is still a really good one. I go back to it periodically, and you know, I'm a total nerd. I have my issues signed by Lee.
That's not bad at all. I mean, I have a tiny little box full to sign comics, so you're not alone. I feel like it's not bad, and so I could go in and read those every now and then. It's kind of cool, but that's cool.
Absolutely.
That's really neat that you knew Lee around. Like, that's really neat. And the fact is that he helped you with your work as well. So this story means a little. There's a little bit of behind the scenes to this run a little bit too, and that's really amazing. I'm not gonna lie.
He's a good dude. So if you see him at like Heroes Con or New York or something, stop by his table because he's a charming, sweet guy who makes amazing comics. Everybody's all hype on him again. You know, he kind of like, I think he was working on like TV or cinema or something. He was working like doing storyboarding and other like maybe some commercial stuff that wasn't comics for a period in the early 2000s. Where he kind of disappeared in a lot of ways, except for just doing a little story here and a little story there. But now, like, he's kind of full-fledged in at DC, and now people are, like, starting to freak out over him again. You know, when he did those Batman issues and that Batman Elmer Fudd thing, and now he's doing this Crisis book with Tom King. So I think, like, there's a big, it's a sweet, like, Lee Weeksessence or something.
It's the Weekennessence. So, yeah, because it's true. It means so good. I like it. I love him so much. Like, he does so much, such beautiful work. Now, when it comes to art, it's hard to be bad, in my opinion, because I'm not critical on the art as much. And, you know, with the storyline, too, I was like, oh my god, this is gorgeous. But there's people who stand out. Obviously, there's you. There's definitely Lee's.
That's so obvious.
Yeah. I'm being honest, Brian. There's a reason why I wanted to get to know
you. You're being nice, is what you are.
Yeah, I'm nice and honest because there's a reason why I wanted to bring you onto the show and bring you on and have this conversation with you. Is you also are a really nice guy. So there is also.
Thank you very much.
Of course. And I don't like to blow the horn or anything like that, but Lee is incredibly talented. He really is. And, you know, the writers of the storyline, too, definitely. Now, here's the question, though, I got to ask. We kind of tackled it somewhat in the beginning. Is what do you consider the name of this storyline? Mostly, like, what is your name? Like,
I call it Fall of Kingpin.
Fall of Kingpin.
But yeah, it's funny because Dan or DG or whatever he goes by, Chichester, he was like, I really objectively don't know if he's a really good Daredevil writer or not. I have no idea, but I really like what he does.
That's it.
And it's weird for me because I can usually pick out like what if something is good or bad and the difference of whether or not like I like it even if it's bad or if it's good. But he's real hard to tell, and I think the reason was because he was doing so much weird like prose, really flowery captions that'll describe like smells and sounds and stuff that you can't really get in comics, but like it kind of puts us in Matt's shoes. And I really like that. I think sometimes it was like, so I think, I really like Dan's writing because he was like making me like feel like heat and like hear sounds and smells. And a lot of writers weren't doing that for me. So I really liked that he did that, even if it did make the pace sluggish here and there, on different stories that he wrote. Like, so, but you brought Dan up, so I wanted to like touch on his writing a bit.
Well, of course. Yeah. Definitely want to touch on the artists and the writers in this. So people kind of get an understanding of it, and that's true. He's a very descriptive writer. That's a dual-sided. I don't know what would be a good term. I'm forgetting the name of the term. Been a long day, folks.
Double-edged sword, I think, is the term you're looking for.
There we go. Yes, it's been a crazy day, but that's why coffee helps. But going on is,
we're gonna get back to that coffee in a minute, though. But go ahead.
Yeah, this is true. But but I do want to say is. You do want that. You do like the descriptive side, but it can make a story sluggish. You're absolutely right. You want that, but then you don't. Like, you want to feel like in a comic, there's ways to make you feel like you're there. There's ways to make, with the descriptive words, whether it be the artwork, whether it be what their people are saying, the jokes and whatnot. That's what makes a good comic, is you definitely have that immersion a little bit. But certain types of it, like that, can make it so it's sluggish. That's the best way to put it, as you said. It's definitely the best way. But it has its really good points, you know, like that foot chasing. Most definitely.
Like, yeah, it was awesome, because it was building suspense, you know, and, like, kind of making you, like, I don't know, like the language of it was really kind of building up this sort of intense, I don't know, you felt, it was almost like the strings in, like, a horror movie when you're about to cross around a corner, you know what I mean? Like, it was, like, it was kind of building to this crescendo, and, like, having these added senses thrown in the prose was really nice. But then times it kind of slows you down when you're kind of in the midst of a conversation, and then there's, like, these descriptions of, like, how someone's, like, scent changes because they start lying and their sweat changes. You know, and I'm just like, man, just keep with the dialogue, bro. Like, I don't need all that shit. Like, I don't want to lose track of the convo. Like,
yeah, it's like an intense, serious moment, but notice how their sweat is going? Like, no, wait a minute here, finish what you're saying.
Yeah, but also worth noting that I could be totally full of shit because I'm not writing Daredevil and Dan was, so that's where I'm saying, like, I don't know how, if he was really good or if he wasn't, but I like it, you know?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's it. Like, as long as you like it, it's what matters, and that's it really does, and like I said before, you threw this, I'm like, yeah, like, folks, we were talking about it, like, oh, let's cover Born Again, and then you're like, let's cover The Fall of Kingpin, and I'm like, oh my god, that's brilliant. It's, you know, like, folks don't really know about it, and if you do want to read it, check out Daredevil number 297 to 300, I believe it is, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, there we go. So check those issues out, and it's tough to find the trade of this issue. There's a little bit, I believe there's a trade of it, but it's tough to find. You got to order it on Amazon, I believe.
Yeah, I do wonder, I mean, you might find it, like at a comic shop that has old trades, but you might be better served. I remember I got my issues, I have two copies of each, because I don't know why, but I have mine from, like, collecting them, and then I found them in a quarter bin where there was a bunch of old, like, off-printed Marvel stuff, so I got, like, I've got two copies of each, but you can find them in back issues pretty readily because they were pretty numerously printed back in the day.
Yeah.
So they're not hard to come by, like, in single issues. I mean, obviously there's Comixology and Marvel Unlimited as well. I'm not sure if they're there, but it's worth a look if you're a digital reader. I'm not. That was part of the thing too, is, like, not to, like, kind of segue into a side thing.
No, you're good.
But when I had cracked these open, I forgot how good my copies were, like, because I have two copies. I have a shitty copy and a pretty good copy. And I forgot how good some of my copies were. And so, like the paper was still white and the printing was still really solid. And it looked fucking awesome.
What?
Like, I was like, holy shit. Like, they smelled great. They looked great. Like, it was just a really immersive experience. That, not to shit on digital or anything, because you definitely get some benefits there, too, when it comes to, you know, brilliant colors and this, that, and the other. But it was something very tactile and nostalgic about cracking open a good copy. So if you decide to order yours or something off, like, Midtown, I would recommend getting a slightly higher grade copy.
Yes, 100%. Now, when I found out there was a trade, I have the single issues as well. But, Brian, where do you keep your comics? Like, how do you keep a book like that, like, pristine like that? Like, what did you do?
It just goes in a short box. It's bagged and boarded in a short box, and my short boxes I keep. My office is in my basement, and I have a concrete floor.
Oh.
So I kind of just built some, like, little plywood, like, stilted shelves, so they don't ever touch the floor in case something ever happens where I get water in here or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have them off the ground, and they're just chilling out with all my, you know, next to my old Moon Knight books and Night Thrasher books.
Ooh.
And Machine Man. I've got very stupid taste sometimes.
You know what? I like to say it's interesting because we got, or you know what? The better term is, so I tell people, because the people who go through my collections every now and then, they're like, "Hey, what do you got? Can I borrow some?" I'm like, "Treat it well." But when it goes through the single issues that I have, because I'm with you, I love having the issues, whether floppy or whether single issues. I love having them. I love them a lot more than digital. But if I let people go through, they're like looking through, like, "What is this?" Especially my indie books that I have. They're definitely like, "The hell is it?" Like, listen, it's a guilty pleasure because you look at it like, "I'll try it," and then you find out it's really good. Like, the weird stuff is usually really good.
Yeah, I have such, like, weird, like, Marvel shit, too. Like, I have almost all of that Mark Spector Moon Knight run.
Really?
And some of it gets so bad at some point. It's just like, fuck me. Like, I can't believe they did that. Yeah. But then there's, like, I've got a... I have one of the things I adore is I have, like, a full run of Deathlok from when Dennis Cohen was drawing it.
Really?
So it's, like, I have, like, the silver cover where he's, like, moving past the, like, the tubes, like, coming, like, emerging from the tubes and... or whatever the fuck they are, like wires or whatever. Mm. But like I got that whole run just because those like Dennis Cohen's like when you know when whether he's inking himself or Bill Sienkiewicz is inking him, there's such a crazy style to it. I just love all those covers, so like I have to have like those. They're so great.
I mean, as an artist, totally understand why. And you just you gotta get those. That's so you're a fan of Moon Knight?
Oh yeah. That's a character that I would love to work on at some point for sure.
Mm. I feel it. So, do I have your support in case a petition ever comes out for Moon Knight on Netflix?
Oh yeah, I would love to see. I would love to see a Moon Knight show. You know, I just like Moon Knight. Period. Mm. I think I'd rather see like a Moon Knight cartoon, but
that's true.
That's only because like the way he looks, I think he'd look better in a cartoon than he would look live action.
Yeah, one of those, and it would definitely one of those of. Yeah, they look good on comics, and they look good not in... But would they look good when you bring in live action? Like, at that point, I remember Luke Cage made fun of it in the old TV show, in the TV show first season. They gave him, like, the old school look that... Well, the regular look that he had back when. And then they're like, what the hell? And then they're like, yeah, folks, you saw it, and you saw you may not like that, so we got rid of it.
That's funny. I didn't get to see that show. I think of all the Marvel shows, I think I've only seen... I saw the first season of Daredevil, and I saw all but the last episode of the first season of Jessica Jones. I haven't seen any of the subsequent seasons or any of the other shows, though, so I'm pretty behind on all of it, so...
I definitely gotta say, because of kind of tying it back to Fall of Kingpin, definitely, if you love this sort of storyline... I'd say you definitely would love season 3 of Daredevil.
Interesting. You know, what's funny is I felt like the end of season 1, that standoff between Kingpin and Murdoch felt very much like the last rites Fall of Kingpin, like sort of foot chase throughout Hell's Kitchen.
I thought about that, but I thought about that kind of when reading it. I'm like, really? Like, you wonder if they took inspiration from that because of that intensity from it. That's those scenes. Like, that's very true. Put that together. Alrighty, folks, don't you dare just go yet, because I have with me a special guest. Now, do you have some landscaping problems? Do you have something that, you know, you need some help with in the good old-fashioned outdoors? Well, I have with me here today a very special guest. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name's Jesse Ewing. I'm the owner of Ewing Land Management, LLC.
That's right, folks. Right now, this can be considered a sponsor. Jesse here is a sponsor of us. Ewing Land Management is a sponsor of the Comic Chronicle podcast, and you know we wanted to bring him on here today because you know people need help, and Jesse needs work as well. So it's all those two and two they work together sort of thing. Today, folks, and Jesse, kind of give a backstory. What is Ewing Land Management?
Ewing Land Management is a young and growing company. We specialize in basically everything to do with tree care. Removal, pruning, planting, pest diagnosis, hazard diagnosis, and mitigation, and some general landscaping services like FireWise, you know, thinning brush for fire safety and things of that nature too.
So things that people desperately need. So that's what you do. Now, you've been doing this for how long?
Just about 20 years.
About 20 years? So, this is to say, folks, he's experienced. He's very experienced. Now, where exactly do you operate?
We operate out of Payson, Arizona. We operate in basically the greater Arizona, the whole state. We also operate in New Mexico and parts of California.
All right. So, folks in those areas, give Jesse a call. Now, where can they contact you at, Jesse?
You can contact us at 928-363-1893. You can contact us through our website, which is www.ewinglandmanagement.com. You can also contact us through our Facebook page at Ewing Land Management LLC.
And folks, that's where you can find Jesse at today. And make sure you guys give him a contact. You hit him up, go whatever. You can also check out the website as well. Be sure to check out that website, ewinglandmanagement.com, because you guys can see all of his work that he's done so far. You can see how they operate, equipment, and everything else as such. So folks, make sure you go check him out. Now, back to the show. Now you got me thinking.
I don't know if they drew from that, but it certainly had the same vibe.
So. It would make sense. I mean, definitely would make sense, because it kind of, the ending of season one, I mean, people, if you're listening to this episode and you haven't seen season one of Daredevil on Netflix yet, come on. But it's like, really, it's a few years old now, which is weird to say, but...
Yeah, people really like it. Like, I think it's pretty good. I don't like anything, and I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So.
You're the strict reviewer, Brian.
Oh my god, dude, don't talk to me about anything, or else it's just gonna be such a pain in the ass. Oh my god, dude, I don't like anything. I have the worst opinions.
I think, I remember you mentioning this last time we talked, was at least on the podcast, definitely was that, of like, listen, like, you give harsh reviews, but I like that about you, because you're the more brutally honest than people would be. Like, I try to be honest, but then my fandom takes over, but you're like, listen, here, this thing sucks.
I give harsh reviews in private. Like, I've got a couple of people that I can be like, hey, I thought this thing sucked, where did you land? And then they're like, yeah, it sucked. I was like, okay, I don't want to say it in public, because I don't want to shit on stuff people like, you know?
That's true. You're keeping the internet and such clean, which is wonderful to say. Well, wonderful to see, really, because, tough place, the internet these days.
Well, you know, you use it for what you want to use it for, so mm-hmm. I don't want to poo-poo on shit people like.
Exactly.
And what's funny, because, like, I let loose my unpopular / bad / whatever opinion about how I didn't love Hereditary, and... Chris Sabella, the comic writer Chris Sabella, is a good pal of mine, and we saw it together. Mm. And he, like, just started just crucifying me, and he's like, you told me to my face you liked it, you fucking liar. And I was like, you know what? Like, I liked it when it was over, but I got distance on it, and I kind of fell out of love with it, and so now he's not letting me go. So now he's got, like, fuel to burn my ass down whenever he wants to.
Oh, God.
I'm happy about it, because I totally deserve it.
Yeah, that's like, listen, like, oh, it's good, and then, like, you see, like, a minute later on Facebook, like, while they're in the car, Hereditary sucked, and you're just sitting there like, what the fuck? Like, oh, God. You know what? Yeah, I can't imagine. Did you post it on Twitter at all, or no?
It was, like, in a reply thread with other people, so it wasn't, like, I wasn't given, like, a big hot take or anything. Like, I don't think it's, like, bad or anything. I just didn't, you know... I didn't love it, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, I don't love anything. It takes, like, something really, really, like, specific for me to love it. So, and that's not to maybe denigrate the quality of things, even. It's just a matter of how specific my tastes are. But I am curious if we can non sequitur. We can continue talking about how big of a piece of shit I am, or we can move on.
You know, as much as folks will probably be like, oh my god, he hated Hereditary, that motherfucker. But moving on.
I am curious what you're drinking, because we're having coffee, and that we haven't really discussed if you're having black coffee with sugar and cream, one or the other. Are you having an espresso?
You got a point, and I gotta say, like, right now, I'm weird, because if I'm working, I get iced coffee. But when I'm not working and relaxed, like right now, I like to be more relaxed and whatnot, I take hot coffee. And 99% of the time, black.
Okay, and then how many shots of whiskey do you put in it?
Well, considering I'm on the microphone right now, there's about zero. Once the recording ends, there usually goes about 3 or 4.
I quit drinking, so I kind of, like, I don't do the booze in the coffee anymore, but I used to enjoy bourbon in my coffee.
Yeah. It's not bad.
What kind of coffee do you like? Do you have a brand or a place that you get it that you prefer?
Well, when it comes to hot coffee, when I get stuff hot, I don't really mind, I don't really have any negative taste. Like, there's not really a brand that I prefer. When it comes to ice, there's a shop owned by an Asian family here in town. I keep forgetting where they're from, but they're such a nice family, and they're just like a block down the road from me, Rainbow Donuts, wonderful place. And I go there, and I always get, like, this iced coffee with cream and sugar and stuff like that. But but when it comes to ice, that's where I like to go. And, yeah, they don't sell big stuff, but I love it anyway. I don't know what they do, but as soon as they come out through the double doors of, like, here's your coffee, I'm like, oh, thank God.
Hell, yeah. I think I have, like, the worst palate of all time. So when I get coffee, like, as long as it's black and it's hot, like, I don't give a shit.
Really?
Like, I'll show up, like, I can drink Speedway, like, Speedway's a gas station where we're at, so I can drink, like, shitty Speedway coffee, or Waffle House coffee, or, like, good coffee from, like, you know, like, local, like, we've got, you know, a lot of local coffee shops around us that make pretty good high-end coffee that's, like, locally roasted and all that shit, and I love that, and I love it all. I just kind of, I guess maybe, like, I treat it like, I don't know, like, I look at it under the lens of which it's made. Like, if I get gas station coffee, I know it's gas station coffee, so my hopes aren't very high. And if I get a really good cup of coffee, then I'm like, oh, okay, I'm gonna have a really good cup of coffee. Yep, it was good. So I'm pretty not discerning, and I always drink it black, and I always drink it 99 times out of 100 I'm gonna drink it hot. Well, this is a specific thing. I get it hot, like, whether it comes out of the pot or whatever, and then sometimes I drink it while it's really hot, and then sometimes it sits there until it's, like, whatever lukewarm temperature the room is, and I drink it like that. Like, I have zero aversions to whatever temperature the coffee is, as long as it's black. And I'm drinking Café Bustelo right now, which is, like, an espresso, ground espresso.
Oh, shit.
Is what I'm currently drinking. Out of a really stupid fucking mug I got from Indiana that has a... It's black, and it has a gun, like a pistol, like, handle instead of, like, the loop for your finger. It's like a... Like, you hold it like a gun. And then it said, I had a blast in Indiana.
Now, I'm curious. Did you get it at a gas station?
You bet your ass I did.
I knew it!
Right outside of a Denny's.
Oh my God, it gets even... it's either two places when you get something like that. You get it from a gas station, or you actually bought into those Instagram ads, or Facebook ads. One of those, and I knew it!
Yeah, or the gift shop in hell itself.
Yeah, that's true. Oh God. Man, I'm actually surprised to hear that. I figured with you that you'd have that specific thing, like, that specific brand only, or something like that. I'm honestly surprised.
No, dude, like, I drink so much coffee, I don't have time, energy, or money to be specific.
That's true.
It costs, like, the amount of, like, we drink so much coffee in my house, it's crazy, it's unhealthy.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. It's funny, it's kind of how I am with my tools, too. Like, I'll drink any coffee, I'll use any brush, I'll use any quill, I'll use any tech pen. Like, when I ink, like, I have such, like, I don't give a shit what I'm holding, whatever's close.
Yeah.
The guy that taught me how to ink, properly. His name is Stefano Godiano. You might know him. He's the inker right now for Charlie Abbott on The Walking Dead.
Oh, shit.
But he inked Michael Lark for ages. And Stefano was kind of the dude that put me through the ringer to make sure I was, like, pro-ready for inking, because I broke in as an inker. And he and I kind of, like, had a discussion about tools one day, and I was like, well, what do you use? And this and that. And I was just, like, kind of, like, winging it. Like, whatever was close to me, whatever I felt like using, I would just grab. And then he was like, oh, you know, I just grab whatever was close. That's a really bad Stefano impression, but it's pretty close. But he's like, yeah, whatever's close, like, I just grab it. And so I was like, oh, shit. Like, that's what I've been doing for the last couple of years. And he was like, yeah, whatever's close, just grab it and make it work. And I was like, all right, shit. So I did.
Hey, that's not bad at all. Like, that's not bad. Yeah, as you know, as a guy who works... What now?
You just do what you do.
That's it. You don't just grab it, make it work. You know, if you're doing what you like and doing what you love, you just grab something and you make it work. Yeah, there's. I've done that. Oh my God, never really thought about this. I've done it while working on some movie sets before. When I do costume building and designing and props and sets and whatnot. Definitely when I'm designing sets, of you just grab something. They're like, all right, I'd fix it. Like, build this set. I'm like, okay. And, like, I just look around, see what props we got and stuff like that. I'm like, all right, how many time I get? You got 5 minutes. Cool. I just grab it, make it work. You know, like, definitely. And when, I don't want to say writing, because writing, I don't really grab stuff and make it work. And, but most definitely doing designing and building and stuff like that. Just grab it, make it. That could be a catchphrase. Can we make that a catchphrase?
That's just, you gotta be careful in this current climate, because there's other, like, grab sort of language.
Yeah.
That applies. You don't want to go that route.
That's true. I mean, definitely. Damn it!
If it was 90s.
Damn you, 2018, you strike again. God damn it.
Speaking of which, Nicholas Rogue died, and that made me really bummed out. The filmmaker, he's like 90, so it's not like a shock, but fucking, I know it's kind of small considering the crazy shit that's going on right now, but it was genuinely upsetting to me.
Well, did you hear about the other one who did pass? It was a double hitter today. We had him and another.
No, who?
The creator of SpongeBob. Yep, that was today.
Yeah, I think Rogue was last week.
Was it last week?
I guess it is only Tuesday, so probably.
This is what happens when you like a lot of stuff and you care about a lot of people and you like their work, is that all of a sudden you just, and with 2018 so far, you lose track of what day big people pass and what didn't. Like, oh, the other week was Stanley. What happened today? Well, we had this. When was this one again? Well, we lose track anymore. Damn it. But, hey.
Well, either way, I was sad.
Right. Kind of
how it goes. I know, like, I don't want to, like, put poison into the universe, but, like, the David Lynch death, when that happens, whenever that happens, that's going to kill me.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I got a wood. No, I'm at my workshop right now. Knocking on that, because no. No, Brian, don't you dare jinx us with black magic right now. Like, no. No.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I'm just ultimately even saying it so I can make peace for when it eventually does.
That's true. And, you know, it's best to try to be prepared for things like that, and, like, the fall of anything that you love, and whoever you love is, yeah, brace yourself. But anyway, we're moving on from that, because that one we're going to get sad in.
Yeah, sorry, everybody. I really brought the fucking mood down.
No, trust me. No, you're fine. Trust me. Hannah?
I guess I'm thinking about, like, I'm going to have to wrap up here pretty soon. So I hate to interrupt the flow of the conversation to say that, but...
No, you're good. You're good. I know you're on a time limit. I mean, folks, he's recording late where he's at right now, just so they know as well, but... Brian, so then we can wrap things up now. So, what do you want to tell the folks about Daredevil the Fall of Kingpin?
Well, I mean, if you want a good bookend for kind of like what happened with that season or that point in time between Born Again and sort of the wild 90s, like Dan Chichester, Scott McDaniel run, like, and kind of wonder, like, what happened, like, how did we get from there to there? You know, it's like that's a great sort of bookend for Born Again. You know, because after Born Again happened, you had all that great Innocenti stuff and the John Romita Jr. era. There was just a great run there that I think is under talked about. And so it was really great to kind of go revisit those four issues. So, I mean, if you're a Daredevil fan and you've read it, I would recommend rereading it, because it's quite enjoyable, you know, like, and it is such a, almost convoluted in a way, story, mm-hmm. but, like, when you read it again, or again and again and again, like, you really pick up all those little machinations, and it's quite nice, so, but if you've never read it, well, then we spoiled a bit, but there's a lot going on, so you'll forget, you know.
Yeah, well, it's definitely worth the time, folks. Definitely check your local comic book shop for the single issues or trade paperback. I'd recommend doing that more than getting it online, but that's just us. But,
of course.
And Brian,
odds are you're gonna get the damn thing for under $10 for the whole you know thing, and I think the last issue is double size too. So.
Oh yeah, $10. I'd say $10. Definitely $10. Because price. Well, I don't know. Pricing is getting weird on comics. That's a different thing. But going on, Brian, where can they find you at on social media?
I'm on Twitter. I'm at Brian_level. Sorry about the underscore. And my dude Ramon Villalobos never let me. He gave me so much shit about having the underscore. It's like such an old head thing for me to do. So it's Brian with an I_level on Twitter. And then my tattoo shop, is my Instagram, so it's Illuminaut Tattoo, IlluminautTattoo, on Instagram, and then social media, like on Facebook, I'm not really approving so many friends on Facebook right now because, I don't know, I post pictures of my kids and shit on there on the reg, so.
Yeah, understandable.
But, you know, like, if you catch me on a good day, I'll approve you. It has nothing to do with me not wanting to be friends with people as much as just, like, you know, depends on how I feel.
Yeah.
But Twitter, I try to be pretty chill and good and easy to talk to and shit. Hit me up there.
And the people get mad about Twitter, but I gotta say, you're a positive light in Twitter considering a lot of people on there these days.
Oh, thanks. I try to be that in real life, so, you know, if it bleeds over into Twitter, that's cool, you know?
Well, I say it does. But, yeah, moving on. I do want to say, folks, make sure you follow Brian on here, because I know we're short on time. Folks, make sure you follow Brian on social media, Brian_level on Twitter, because it's what worth your time. It really, really is. And he posts his art, which is beautiful. So, it's
yeah, I do post a lot of drawings, so, and I post a lot of really bad jokes, and I talk a lot about what food I eat in the middle of the night.
Hey, well, one of those seems to be Waffle House tonight, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going to go ink and eat.
Hell yeah. And folks, if you want to follow Comic Chronicle on the FanCorp Network, follow us on Twitter, @RealFanCorp. That is @RealFanCorp on Twitter and Instagram, FanCorp Network on Facebook, and the FanCorp Network on YouTube. So, folks, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or Podbean, wherever you listen to. Make sure you follow Brian as well. And make sure you guys stay tuned for more interviews and more episodes of the Comics and Coffee Talk Show. So, folks, stay classy, New York City. Hey there, folks. This is your host, Dakota Morgan, coming right back at you. And I hope you're not tuning out just yet, because you can be part of the Comic Chronicle podcast. That's right. You can come on the show. Well, how do you do such a thing? Well, folks, that is in when we hit our $100 mark on our brand new Patreon page. That's right. We have our own little Patreon page for the Comic Chronicle podcast, where if you donate $1 to $10 a month, tier 1, $1, tier 2, $5, tier 3, that is $10. Now, if we make a $100 mark, then definitely I choose a listener like yourself and bring them on for a Comics and Coffee Talk Show. Now, we talk about whatever the listener you may want to know, whichever you want to talk about, folks. It's all up to you. Now, and of course, with each tier, you get fun exclusive prizes. You get your name on the show as well for some of them. You get your own little you as a hero on a Comic Chronicle exclusive comic book cover, online only. And, you know, a lot more other prizes. You know, the Wall of Heroes as well. You get your name on the monthly social media post of the Wall of Heroes, with the $5 and $10 tiers on there only. But your name is on there, the $5 Speedsters and the $10 Vigilantes. Them guys get on there once a month. Big shout out to you guys on the FanCorp social media page. So, folks, if you want to be a part of such a thing, go ahead, go to patreon.com/comicchronicle. That's patreon.com/comicchronicle. And I hope to talk to you on the show very soon.